from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Rachel Miro, I'm Julie Small. A new report on fracking gives the federal government a green light to resume leasing public lands in California for oil and gas extraction. A nonpartisan scientific research team found scant evidence that pumping chemicals and water into the ground to extract fuel causes damage. Energy companies have been shut out of the San Joaquin Valley and the Central Coast since last year when environmental groups sued to stop them from fracking there. Those groups said the report released yesterday was rushed to print and relied on insufficient evidence. The report's own authors agreed. The California Council on Science and Technology, for example, found no evidence of water contamination from fracking, but they had no data on water quality near fracking sites. Thousands of Mexican immigrants deported from Southern California over the past 5 years could be allowed to return under an agreement between federal authorities and the ACLU. The civil rights group sued the feds last year, claiming U.S. border agents used deceptive tactics to get detained immigrants to take so-called voluntary departure. ACLU attorney Sean Reardon points to one case.
They were presented with these forms and pressured to sign them. Were not allowed to speak with their attorney, and by early afternoon that same day, they had been expelled into Mexico.
A federal judge must still approve a part of the settlement that could clear the way for Mexican nationals who signed voluntary departure orders to come back to California and fight to stay. For immigrants already in California who are facing deportation proceedings, they can expect to wait 2 to 4 years for the chance to plead their case. The immigration courts are notoriously backlogged. There is one exception, people locked in ICE detention. Their hearings are usually fast-tracked. As part of our ongoing series on child migrants and the legal system, KQED's Sarah Hosseini reports that judges are now being asked to give equally high priority to the surge of unaccompanied minors and families with children.
Previously, judges moved the cases of people locked up in immigration custody to the front of the line and took the rest in the order they were received. But now, judges are being asked to have several top priorities to accommodate tens of thousands of so-called surge cases. San Francisco-based Judge Dana Lee Marks, the president of the National Association of Immigration Judges, says that's not the best solution.
If you were to ask me which would be the cases on my docket that would be most amenable to expediting and handling quickly from beginning to end, the juvenile cases would be on the bottom of that list because you have a vulnerable individual who has special needs.
Mark says the answer is not reshuffling the deck, but hiring more immigration judges. Each judge currently juggles at least 1,500 cases. Moving kids up is already delaying cases that have been pending for years. Oakland immigration lawyer Kevin Crabtree worries it could even affect detained people who are still supposed to be a top priority.
My concern is that you're forcing people to compete for the limited time of immigration judges and that people who are detained will be detained longer because of the lack of resources.
Crabtree's client Gerardo Mendoza is an example of how long some wait already. Mendoza was locked in detention for 26 months. He says he passed the days making handicrafts out of trash.
When I was over there, I learned to make backpack for girls, horse, and tiny shoes.
Mendoza is back home now in the Bay Area city of Newark. He shows me items he wove his kids from recycled ramen noodle wrappers.
He even made a wallet for my brother and a picture frame.
ICE detention is designed to hold certain immigrants for hearings and is not meant as a punishment. But Mendoza says it sure felt that way.
At night, they close the door. It's locked. You cannot go out. Small windows over there. You're looking outside and it's really hard. I remember the beginning, 3 days, I want to die.
Mendoza's story is not unlike those of many of today's child migrants. He himself was only 17 when he came to the United States in the 1990s, escaping violence in Guatemala that killed his brother. He was deported once after he says his asylum claim was botched and denied, but he quickly made his way back to his wife and infant son in California. Immigration authorities caught up with him again when that son was 15 years old. By then, Mendoza had started a janitorial business, bought a home, and had 3 children, all born here. While he was locked up, 10-year-old Kelly explains she didn't see her dad for more than 2 years.
It was, like, hard for him to be gone, and I couldn't know, like, why was it happening to me.
Were you thinking it was going to take that long?
Not really. I like, lost hope, like, in a couple years.
Kelly says she thought she was dreaming when her dad came home one night a few months ago after Crabtree won his release. Though Mendoza's case is still pending, he's able to care for his family again. That includes his wife, who suffers hallucinations and has been repeatedly hospitalized. He's also working to pay off $80,000 in legal debts. Mendoza says he hopes for a more humane immigration process.
This system is completely broke. I hope so that they can do something soon.
Former acting ICE director John Sandwig was the guy in charge of enforcing that system. He agrees it is broken, but short of congressional action on immigration reform, he says prioritizing the children and families who've crossed the border is not only smart, but doable.
I think it does make sense. You should not pull capacity from the detained population in order to focus on the kids. But I think that there's sufficient capacity amongst the immigration court judges to maintain your priorities on detention and maintain your priorities on the border piece of it.
California Republican Assemblyman Tim Donnelly of Twin Peaks in San Bernardino County says when it comes to the influx of children, he doesn't want to see any sent back to certain death. But speedy decisions and deportations are key.
We need to set up a triage court. We need to pull retired judges out. We need to set them up in tents, not courthouses. And we need to get due process handled as expeditiously as possible.
Meanwhile, there's a chance Mendoza's prolonged detention could convince the nation's top administrative court to allow more immigrants out on bail while they await their deportation decisions. Crabtree says the Bureau of Immigration Appeals could decide no immigrant should be detained without a bond hearing for longer than 6 months.
I believe that most Americans are not aware this is happening, that their own government is holding people for so long, essentially for no reason.
Crabtree says the move could reduce pressure on courts juggling the competing priorities of children and those in ICE detention. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Hosseini.
And that's the California Report for Friday, August 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Howard Gelman, with additional engineering by Seal Muller, Rob Spate, and Jim Bennett. Our interns are Nancy DeVille, Robin Simmons, and Angela Rowell. The director was Guy Maserati. Our producer was Tina Rubio. The editors this week were Polly Stryker, Tyke Hendricks, Erica Kelly, and Craig Miller. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Julie Small. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.